meeting to order. The time is 1:33. With us today is Representative Moses, Representative Holm. Did that last time. Representative Kelly, Representative Foster, myself, Co-Chairman Meyer, Representative Cartula, Representative Jewell, Representative Hawker, and Representative Wyra. Representative Chenault will be excused. And we Representative Stoltz will join us in a little bit. Okay, today we have just one bill that we'll be hearing, House Bill 144, advisory vote on the community dividend. We have the sponsor here, Representative Thomas and his trustee staff, Ian Fisk. So I'll go ahead and let you introduce the bill, describe the bill to us, take questions from the committee, and then we'll open it up to any public testimony. And I know we do have at least one person who's asked to testify. There may be more online that not yet. Okay. Very good. So with that, Representative Thomas, floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman Meyer and members of the Finance Committee. I'm Representative Thomas from District 5. House Bill 144 was drafted, and I'll read the title, an act authorizing an advisory vote on whether income of the Alaska Permanent Fund in the Earnings Reserve Account should be used for a community dividend. And briefly, I won't read the sponsor statement because I'll be blabbering on anyway about everything else. So
okay.
Anyway, I want to tell you, you're all looking dapper too today, so be nice.
That's not going to help you.
The mercy.
Mercy. Be gentle. I introduced this piece of legislation mainly because of my background in local government. I spent 4 years on the school board, and I was in a borough that required you to also be on the borough assembly. So it was 4 years on the borough, 4 years on the school board at the same time. And we had revenue sharing, and then as the years went on, we lost revenue sharing throughout the state. And the communities, you know, right now have significant, what we call cash flow health problems. And I was looking around, I was trying to find a source of income that would be sustainable. Everybody's been using the word sustainable. You can't start a dividend program for the communities and use the general fund because, as we know, 2 years ago, there would have been a zero money for community dividends, whereas last year and this year there may have been a dividend there. So this is one way of getting a sustainable income is going into the Alaska Permanent Fund Earnings Reserve. The dividend would go to local governments, the closest one to the people. We're not telling them how to spend it or give any sideboards to it, but hopefully they'll, if initiated, would spend it wisely. And hopefully they will kind of lighten up on taxes and those sales taxes for the people of the community to help them, you know, feel a little bit of ease because you're going into the permanent fund and people know that it's somewhat taboo by many. You know, we have met several other bills out there that have proposals and we say that ours is better, but there are some that I would definitely support also. I guess our concern is how long are we going to continue to let the local municipalities continue to suffer as we know we have some high oil revenue right now, and I know that this doesn't go into the oil revenue, but it, in a way it would help all the state because the dividend program in the language here says may distribute up to $150 million annually. And it doesn't mean you do the whole thing. You know, there might be years that you have some general fund money that you want to kick in. There are other pools of money. You know, maybe you only use $50 million. You have other sources of money elsewhere. But it also would help in the budget process here of easing and still having being able to give a community dividend to other to the communities. Maybe on big years you can use general fund money. Through the years, I know that, you know, we've been passing more and more of the services to the local governments, local responsibilities. The road service areas is one. And so I thought, well, again, how do we help the local communities continue to be successful in moving along? I sit on the Community Regional Affairs Committee, and more than once we have heard the dilemma of the communities and their financial problems and all the problems that they're having, and solvency with insurance and the retirement programs that they've gotten themselves into in some major debt. This plan will have little or no effect, but it's after 10 years, it will be about a $50 a year impact on the recipient of the permanent fund check, and you have it in your handouts.
In the packet.
It's in your packet, so it will show you that it has a minimal impact. I call it minimal when the recipient will still receive estimated in the year 2015, the dividend is projected to be $21.50. With this program, it will be $21.00, with $50 reduction is all. At the same time, the local municipalities will be receiving, I think it's about $220 per person under the HB 144, if you go to the max. So when people are worried about the permanent fund dividend impacts, to me it's minimal when you look at possibly the chances of relieving taxes at the local level. Again, this is the dividend is calculated for people who are watching and wondering where we're going to take the money away. It's after the dividends have been made, inflation proofing is made, and then the money is available. Then it goes out to the municipalities. We plan to use the community dividend program that's been in place for 30 years with the state. There seem to have been no complaints over the 30-year process that was in there. I know there are people have been talking about amendments, but that program seemed to have been successful, so we're hoping to use that as the model, I guess you'd say, of dividing and making the dividends out to the communities. All we're trying to do is find, again, sustainable income to put into that fund. We had the bill in state affairs, and they did make a couple of changes. I had in the previous bill inflation proofing, and they took that out, and we put the language into up to rather than inflation proofing. And I thought that was a good change because, again, the flexibility of contributing the amount that you want and whether or not you can use general funds. And
if I could, Bill, there's the other change in the
for the record.
Excuse me. For the record, my name is Ian Fisk, staff to Representative Thomas. In addition to the changes that the representative just pointed out, there's also the intent language that was added on page 1, line 6. And that just, you know, there was some debate about the issue of how you're going to define a community, especially in the case of unincorporated communities. And the language that's adopted there basically just goes along with the sponsor's intent to follow the program as it was before. And definition of a social unit is also amongst your materials there.
So again, we're going back to the old dividend program, so I don't think we need to belabor this. I know that you have several of these before you, and hopefully we'll come up with one that we can all live with. And you know, I know there's a representative in the committee that has one, and I would vote for his. We came up. Again, I think that this has more flexibility because of the up to, and I'm not sure if the representative's language has that in there. And I think it's very key. And then if we use that formula that we're talking about in the $150 million up to, Anchorage, for instance, would receive $60 million. I think that would close a lot of fiscal gap and problems within their school problems and any other municipal problems. Municipality of Cordova, I'm just picking some that we highlighted. Cordova would get $554,000. Fairbanks would get $6.6 million. Fairbanks North Star Borough would get $11.7 million. Juneau would get $6.8 million. And Northwest Arctic Borough would get $205,000, but It's all based on population, and unless you're a small municipality, it's unorganized. Now, this is for organized municipalities, and unorganized get a flat base, $25,000. So it is under the old program, but I think it would definitely be one way to share the wealth. And I know people say, yeah, it's the permanent fund, we only need it for a rainy day, but I know from the crying that I've heard for the last year and this year in CNRA, that the rainy day is here, and whether the people want to use it or not, I think it would be up to them. So anyway, I'll take questions, and maybe I'll find some other things here too.
Okay, thank you, Representative Thomas. And before we get started on the questions, I wanted to let the committee know that Laura Ashe is here with the permanent fund if there's any questions pertaining to the permanent fund. Also, I believe Bill Rawson is with the DCED is online. Or is he here? Oh, he's here. Okay. He's also here for any questions we may have. And you're right, Representative Thomas, we do have several revenue sharing bills, ideas before us this session. Which one actually surfaces and gets moved, if any, or time will tell. That yours is the first one. Actually, I think you had this last year. So appreciate you bringing this forward and explaining it to us. We will go to questions. The only question I have, and we're not moving to your bill today because we do want to see what other bills surface. But if there was an amendment to take off the advisory vote, would you still support the?
Oh yeah. Okay. If we had the, if we're willing to vote, do we get 21 votes? Yes. Okay. I would. I have no problem. I believe that the rainy day is here, and I believe people, if you present it properly, would agree that I think it's time that we help the municipalities and we use their own money. And this is one of the fair ways that I feel that dividends back to the communities can be made without regard to any political, urban, rural issues.
Okay. Before we go to public testimony, we'll take questions from the committee for the sponsor, Representative Barr.
Yeah, I just had a concern about the plebiscite advisory vote nature of this. I think it results in a terrible, vapid, inaccurate facts and debate that all the people want to do is steal the dividend, and I think that's inaccurate kind of debate. The level of debate would be very visceral and probably inaccurate. I think the people put us here to make decisions, and the communities are hurting. We've heard that enough, and the plebiscite should be on us. And if we vote for this and we're not elected, then that's the people have spoken. But I think we're in this position to make these decisions, and we should get rid of the advisory vote portion of this and vote this, vote on this up or down. I believe that strongly is part of our democracy. That's why we're here. And I also believe that that's why these funds are around, to help communities that are struggling to meet basic community service needs. Of the state, and to operate when we do. We shouldn't have this money in the bank and be poor. We should be a strong, vibrant state. And so if the vote was to have the program and not the plebiscite, I would support it.
And I agree, and I said that if you took it off, I would vote for it either way, but it's somehow, some way you have to draft legislation, and it's your idea at the time. This is over a year ago. Things change, and but I still believe that listening to people, I think it's raining, and they need the money, and I believe that in the last year, even though we've had some windfall, they need sustainable income, and I agree. And I would vote. I said I'd vote yes if you skip that out. Are you, the upper representative's bill? I'm for a community dividend.
Mr. Chair, you've done it one way. Did you think about using an endowment fund? And I just wondered the philosophy of not creating a fund that then pays out and rather just going straight, every year. Not that one is better than the other. I just wondered why you did it this way.
Well, I guess I looked at the permanent fund earnings as the endowment rather than creating one. I did give an idea to Representative Meyer previously, but I don't want to be on TV telling about what it was, but it was a good idea. But I guess I look at this as an endowment, you know, that it could be used. And people just got to realize, I guess we have to realize, too, that we need the local help. The locals need the help. Excuse me. Thank you.
Just one other question, and I think your staff and committee staff are working on it, but that kind of interaction between the boroughs and the cities and municipalities and dealing with, you know, areas where you might double up in terms of the amounts coming in, and I guess we're still working on that, is that right?
Well, that's why I pointed out that for 30 years nobody complained about the old formula working, and all of a sudden now people are viewing it that maybe some are getting more, some are getting less, and so we're looking at it, and there is talk. But you know, I guess it's that old story about what, you know, it wasn't broken before, but now we see that it's becoming broken. So, but they are looking at it. We are a long ways from getting any bill out of here, so I'm sure it'll be well refined before it gets there.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Yes, Representative Thomas, on page 2, under the question there, line 5. What does a social unit include?
Social unit, my understanding, is 25 people or more.
Would that include tribal situation or not?
Well, yes, and they're under unorganized municipalities. Most of them are listed under the unorganized. And it's a good question, Representative Kelly, because we're looking at this and we see a lot of communities that aren't organized, recognized governments, and this would be an incentive for them to make the step. Because all of a sudden you start getting, you know, go from the base amount from 25 to 50,000 plus per capita payments. Again, this was the old plan, and so, you know, there is a good incentive to step up and move up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Kelly. For the record, Representative Dolts has joined us. Any other questions? If not, if you want to just take a seat there behind you, Representative Thomas.
Thank you,
Chairman. And at this time, we'll take public testimony. I think that,
seat up here, Bill.
Thomas, you can take the Representative Dolts inside of here today. Mm-hmm. Let's see, I have signed up Wayne Stevens with the Alaska State Chamber of Commerce. Is there anyone else? Welcome, Mr. Stevens.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Wayne Stevens. I'm the president of the Alaska State Chamber of Commerce. Each year, the Alaska State Chamber membership gathers to prioritize and ultimately adopt their top six legislative priorities, and this year one of their top six legislative priorities is the implementation of a community dividend program. Our statement reads, the State Chamber urges the legislature to implement a sustainable community dividend using an endowment management method to provide local tax relief to business and families and to assist in providing basic public services throughout Alaska. We applaud Representative Thomas's efforts to begin the discussion of a community dividend program. We believe it's important to the future of the communities around the state. It's an important issue for business. Primary funding sources for communities come from property tax, while residential properties receive a permanent fund dividend against that property tax. Business does not, and we believe that a well thought out, well implemented community dividend program is crucial. We believe that it should be implemented this legislative session. Fiscal year 2007 is quickly upon us, and without that program, the ability of communities to maintain those basic services, to maintain a situation where business wants to invest, is critical. And we urge your adoption of a community dividend program. And that's all I have for you today, gentlemen. Thank you. ladies.
Thank you, Mr. Stevens. I may have some questions for you. You brought up a good point that the community dividend, I'm reading your bill here, there's a community dividend may be used for local tax relief, so that would get to your concern about the rise in property tax on businesses and residential.
Well, I think history would show that many communities did use it for property tax relief, having served on the assembly in Kodiak for a number of years. I know that the tax rate was proportional to the amount of revenue sharing that came to the community, and as that went away, property taxes.
How long were you on the assembly, Kodiak?
10 years, sir.
Is that where you lost your hair? Just kidding.
Actually, it was with the Kodiak Chamber that
Representative Hawker.
And thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Stevens. Listening carefully to the policy statement by the state chamber, I'm struck by, first the recognition of the need for state support to communities. But you also, in there, you talk about sustainability, and that was, a particularly poignant point. Should not, as we debate this issue, should not, and particularly as we are talking about using some of the earnings of the permanent fund. I do think the historic record absolutely demonstrates that that money was originally set aside and intended to be for us to have this debate at this point in time. But I'm a little concerned that putting out a proposal to start just spending permanent fund earnings in this manner in large amounts, such as $150 million a year, might ultimately endanger the long-term viability and long-term value of the permanent fund. 2 years ago, we had a lengthy dialogue in this body on what was called the percent of market value, or truly managing the fund as an endowment. And I believe your policy point made a specific reference to endowment management. So would it be the state chamber's position that while a community dividend program is a very high priority, that would the endowment management of the percent of market value methodology also be, would it be perhaps a better way for us, or would it be an equally acceptable way for us to proceed here so we that A, both assure the protection of the value of the fund over time as well as making funds available for this sort of purpose? Not that that was a leading question.
One of our other positions discusses fiscal plan, and in that statement we do talk about percentage of market value as a tool with which to manage one's resources, and certainly in the context of the community dividend program, I think it's one of the many tools that ought to be discussed. I think that it would be prudent for us as citizens of the state to recognize that the original ballot language, I believe, said something to the effect of create a rainy day account. It didn't say create a check for Wayne in perpetuity. And while we can debate the philosophical approaches to that ballot language almost 30 years ago now, I think the important thing to remember is what we didn't do is define what is a rainy day. And I think that's part of the debate that we're holding now. And incumbent upon all of us as we hold that discussion is to remember that it's more than just the dividend program, that it impacts communities' budgets impact business, and business has a vested interest in sustaining healthy communities and in sustaining an environment in which investments can return to those who invest. And certainly POMV is one of those many tools that could be used, and there are many, many ideas on the table, but we need to start putting the fence around them and squaring it up and deciding which specific method we're going to go with and how we're going to get to the end game of having a community dividend program that is sustainable.
A quick follow-up.
Sure.
And so to a specific point in question, would the state chamber have a position on if we faced an option here in the legislature of either putting the percent of market value method and for sake of discussion the same versions that passed out of the House 2 years ago on the ballot, or putting this bill, this advisory vote on the ballot to simply spend permanent fund earnings without the advantage of having adopted an endowment management. Would you have a preference for either approach?
I think clearly we recognize that just spending funds without some methodology to manage those funds going forward, at some point, as you do all your tracking of lines of return of investment and thresholds for withdrawal of those funds, you run into a problem. So clearly, a discussion about how you're going to manage that versus just writing a check every year to a program, whether that comes out of the general fund or it comes out of the permanent fund, you've got to replenish it, or the fund has to be large enough that 5% is such that the $150 million doesn't diminish the corpus of the fund, which nobody wants to see. Can I say what was the bill 2 years ago from memory? No, sir. Do I prefer one method over another? I can't answer that question honestly, but I would say that absent that material, a method to manage the fund would be far more palatable than just scooping out and handing out.
Well, thank you very sincerely. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Hawkins. Representative Stiltz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just, in the room, I was wondering if we got proper notice through the Alaska Municipal League. They're usually here. I just don't see them anywhere. Maybe the planes were... No, they do have an office room, too.
I believe they have a fairly extensive set of meetings today, but I wouldn't respond to them.
But they're not here. This is a municipal revenue issue. Now that my question, they're not here, but they were invited or they knew about it, I assume?
It's a noticed hearing, so I'm not sure what they're up to.
Okay.
To that point.
Okay, Representative Joel.
To that point, if you're looking, but I think you had two prior hearings, and I think they were at either one or both, and were in support.
They were in Felton.
Go ahead, Representative Thomas.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. They were, and they told me that they changed their position, and last year they threatened not to show up to testify because they were afraid of the advisory board voted portion of the bill, afraid that it would fail. Which will it only fail if you don't support it. And they're the ones that need it. So,
I guess, Mr. Chairman, I didn't have a question, so I'll just shut up.
Okay. Do you have a question, Representative?
Mr. Steve, what's your job? Employment in your private sector? Where do you work?
I work for the Alaska State Chamber of Commerce. That's my full-time position.
Right? Well, yes, thanks for your service and testimony.
Thank you, sir.
Representative Kelly.
Just looking ahead a couple of years, if the budget continues to grow at the rate it has, we're going to be back into a serious deficit situation if oil is below 50, 55 bucks a barrel. At that time, the state could find itself in a real jam, which doesn't take much memory to know how that works. And yet we may find that we have created a system where the communities have this predictable flow that we must meet. Do you see any difficulty with that? In other words, creating a fairly certain fiscal plan for the communities at the same time the state is almost certainly by FY08, 09, 10 in there going to be back into pickle because of the spending rate that we're sustaining. See any problem with that?
Through the chair, Representative Kelly, there is a problem, and I think that's part of the reason that our position is that it needs to be sustainable. I served on the assembly in Kodiak when revenues dropped rather precipitously, and it caused very hard decisions at the table, very similar decisions to those which you make at those times when the revenue doesn't match up, you start cutting programs, and you cut programs that constituents have come to enjoy, expect, and when you look at a community's ability to pay rising at a level, and the school district budget, for instance, rising at a rate faster than the community's rate of growth, you've got serious problems. So yes, indeed, that's a grave concern of any program, and that's why I think the discussion should center on ways to make it sustainable so that it's not coming from general fund resources. And certainly there are a number of pockets of resource that could be looked to as ways to set up some kind of endowment management program, earnings reserve, the Amaretta Hess are a couple that come to mind quickly. but the concept being it needs to be sustainable so that, as you so aptly point out, when oil does go back below whatever threshold it is, the last one I saw was about $45 a barrel, based on last year's budget, not budgets going forward, and our ability to consume and in ever greater quantities of that budget resource, you're absolutely right. It won't be when, or it won't be if, it'll be when. Just reach that.
Go ahead. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It just seems like it could be a curious situation where we solve the problem for the folks on councils and assemblies at the very same time the people that have elected us are back into the soup and we haven't solved that problem. It just seems to me like we're going to have a little game of sweat ball at that point about whether you can then keep what you're doing if mm-hmm. we've dug ourselves into a hole at the state level. So the sustainability is, I guess, about as good as one legislature to the next on something like this. And yet I understand the need. Don't worry, I understand the need and respect what Representative Thomas is trying to do here. And this is no disagreement with your testimony or whatever, but it's just a point, because we're headed for this oil again. And it's going to be trouble. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Kelly. Any other questions for Mr. Stevens?
No, I just, Mr. Chairman, I would like to thank Mr. Stevens for testifying, and when these types of questions go before the public, the state chamber and all the other chamber forums in my community and everybody else provide the forums for the debates on this, and that's where a lot of it takes place. So I do want to thank you for coming here today. You're one of the few, apparently, and so coming before the hearing. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Mr.
Chairman. Appreciate it.
Is there anyone else online? Okay, anyone else in the audience that would like to testify on community dividend? Okay. Seeing none, public testimony will be closed on this. As I mentioned, we're going to hold on to this bill for a little while, see what happens throughout the next, 80 days? Is that what we have left? we'll bring it up at that time. Also, just to let you know, the previous bill we had last week on the 90-day session, we're also going to hold on to that for a little while. Let's see. Is there anything else that we want to bring up before the committee? Representative Foster, did we have a birthday?
Well, I thought you might be a loser.
No.
Well, we do. We do have a birthday. Sure, but I don't know. Is she here? She's not here yet.
Sure, okay.
Well, right. We'll just have to catch her.
Very good. Yeah, Char had a birthday last Tuesday, so.
She doesn't want us to know.
Yeah, apparently, yeah. Okay, let's see. With that, tomorrow, we will meet again tomorrow. We're going to take up some very weighty bill. Who wrote this? House Bill 266, having to do with vehicle weights and insurance. It's a bill sponsored by House Transportation Committee. So that's the only bill we'll have up before tomorrow. If there's nothing else to come before the committee, we're adjourned.